It's time to celebrate. Set sail with the Kim Pagano Show and Princess Cruises on a weekend getaway sailing September 17th through 21st. Don't miss your chance to relax, unwind, and come back new. With rates starting at just $449, you don't want to miss out on this amazing deal that includes meals, entertainment, and accommodations. Contact Nikki Baldwin today to reserve your room. 805-312-4449. Again, that's 805-312-4449. Terms and restrictions apply. Ships of British and Bermudan Registry.
CST number 1005430-10.
Duval Treatment Centers, based in Southern California, provides innovative and cutting-edge treatment tailored specifically for teens aged 13 to 18 struggling with addiction and mental health issues. With two residential treatment centers in Topanga and Ojai, and two partial hospitalization and outpatient facilities in Bel Air and Ojai, we provide the most effective level of care to meet our clients' unique needs. Our strength-based, solution-focused program empowers our clients to become the engine of their recovery. For more information, go to evolvetreatment.com or call 1-800-665-GROW.
Welcome to the Brighter Side of Recovery, sponsored by Sober Recovery Center. Finally, a radio show that not only tackles the brighter side of addiction, recovery, mental health, and anything in life that you are recovering from, but also a show with the answers for family, friends, and those who love an addict. Hosted by award-winning radio show host and motivational leader Kim Pagano, Sherry Gaba, a psychotherapist and certified recovery coach, and Jennifer Chastain, an advocate for the community. Tune in for the brighter side of recovery on the Kim Pagano Show from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. They bring you the experts, authors, and professionals that speak to the issues that are important to you, the listener. Give them the questions, and they will bring you the solutions to whatever you are recovering from. And now, here's Ventura County's favorite radio show host, it's Kim Pagano.
Welcome, welcome, everyone. And I hope that you tuned in to our morning shows from 6 to 8. And again, I'm so glad that you are here. Sherry Gabe is here with us. How
oh,
are
I'm
you?
I'm so happy to be
so
here.
I really do miss you guys.
Yes.
I do, but I'm grateful to be here right now.
There you go. And of course, Jennifer.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Yeah, we had a great morning show,
we
didn't
did.
We
had a really great morning show.
Very good. Tom, how's it going?
Everything's good this afternoon. Beautiful day.
Awesome, awesome. All right. Well, we have today an amazing show. Of course, this is all about the recovery, waking up from anything that you are waking up from and recovering from. And of course, SOBA is one of our big sponsors. And of course, Evolve is Mandy Barron, and he's going to be on with us today. And again, for anybody that's just tuning in with us right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. And I do want to let us everybody know we do have a recovery a newsletter that goes out every week. We want you to get that, and it will be emailed to you. You'll be able to find out all what's going on in recovery and all of our great sponsors and how to get in touch with them. And if any of your loved ones or just anything that you're going, we've got the best experts that are a part of our show. And you can always listen to any of our shows here on anything that you've missed or previous shows at KimPaganoShow.com. Also on iTunes, are all downloaded there on iPad. Podcasts are all podcasted there. So definitely make that one of your things on your phone so that you can always have that. You can be walking and listening. It's great. So again, of course, we always give back here on the Kim Pagano Show. And I would love to have Tom talk about that really quick.
Great prizes. Let's start off with what's going on with some laughs. Laugh Out Loud Comedy Night. That's Westlake Village Twin with Jason Love, Dana Eagle, and Tom Clark. Very funny, May 6th, that's when that's going on. The Ventura Music Festival, they always get big artists in, Herb Alpert and Lonnie Hall. You are going to hear Sergio Mendez in Brazil 66. Of course, you're going to get back to the days of the Tijuana Taxi and Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. What a great show this is going to be. Ventura Music Festival, May 9th. Then there's Caneo Valley Days at Caneo Creek Park in Thousand Oaks, and that is at Jans Road and the 23 Freeway. May 16th and 17th, the California Strawberry Festival, Tickets for that, you'll get into the Strawberry Meadows of College Park and have fun 10 a.m. to 6:30. Rubicon Theater presenting The Last Train to Nybrock. Great reviews on that. And finally, Simi Valley's Cultural Arts Center presenting The World Goes Round. Tony Award-winning music from Cabaret Chicago, Kiss of the Spider-Woman, Funny Lady, New York, New York, and many more.
And with that, I want you to write down this phone number, 805-419-0008, 419-0008. If you have any questions for any of our guests, or you want to find out where they're at or how to get in touch with them, give us a call there. Also, if you are interested in winning any of these things that we're talking about, all these great events, we'd love you to give us a call. And if you have a business or an event or anything that you have that you would love the Kim Pagano Show to spread the word about, we would love to hear from you. So write that number down, 805-419-0008, 419-0008. And let's just start off with a pair of tickets to the Venture Music Festival. That is May 9th. And of course, just what Tom said is Herb Albert, Lonnie Hall. And it's a wonderful family concert. So I'd love to give that away. It's at 1 o'clock.
That just reminded me of my mother, Herbie Albert. Remember, our parents used to listen to that?
Yeah. So anyways, we got a pair of tickets right now for you. Give us a call, 419-0008. I do want to talk about our guest today. Mindy Barron is our first guest. We're going to be talking about summer survival tips for parents of teens. Oh, my God, we need that. I can't wait to talk to him about that. And then, of course, Brenda Schaffner, Schaefer, and she's going to be talking about It Is Love or Is It Addiction? And we're going to find out a little bit more about love addiction. So with that, I do want to say, I know we wanted to give a little shout out.
Yes, I wanted to remind all of our listeners of Evolve Treatment Centers. If you are having trouble with your teenager and need some guidance on this tough road that you're entering, we definitely want to give you the number to Evolve Treatment Centers. You can look at our website or you can contact them directly. They help specifically teenagers 13 to 18 that are struggling with addiction and mental health issues. These are not things you have to try and solve on your own, and they are there to help you. You can contact them at evolvetreatment.com or 1-800-665-GROW. And I definitely encourage you to contact them now before it's too late. While they're young and under 18, you still have that control to get them there.
Oh, yeah. I just had mine turn 19, and I don't know, there's something about that, but I really, you know, Mindy Barron is actually our next guest.
He's great. I love when he's on our show. I love talking to him.
Yeah, he's young, he's cool, and he gets it. And Mindy, are you there? Welcome, welcome.
I am here. You're making me blush.
we could see it. We could see it. So anyways, you're right. School is almost out. And what a perfect, timely topic to be talking about, summer survival tips for parents of teens. Tell us a little bit about Alcohol Awareness Month. And I know that is just like we're at the tail end of it. But tell us about what's going on in the teen world.
You know, this particular time, and I don't know if they intentionally scheduled Alcohol Awareness Month this month, but, you know, when you start looking at this time of year with adolescents, especially due to the school year, this is when we see a pretty big spike in intensity. You know, clients are experiencing a high stress volume. There's finals, there's, you know, expectations, there's summer plans, and all of a sudden under the pressures. And then there's obviously graduation parties, prom parties. It's sort of a big catalyst and then an explosion and then into the summer. And so we see a lot of a severe amount of alcohol abuse, binge drinking and so on with our teens, and especially right around this time.
You know, Mindy, this is Sherry. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I always think of it's all about boredom. Isn't it always about boredom? Where that's kind of how it starts in the summertime, don't you think?
You know, yes and no. Definitely the summertime, that's a really big contributor. It can be about too much pressure. It can be about having no boundaries. So if you were to look at a graph from a treatment center perspective, as you near the end of the year, it spikes up and we see more clients attend treatment. And then right after they graduate and move into the summer and there's no boundaries and no structure, parents stop realizing that there are issues, right? Because if you don't expect them to be there at a certain time and they're not there, it doesn't flag. There's a decrease in flags, and so you see sort of a decrease in issues, and people bring issues to light. But then in the middle of the summer, as they get bored, like you said, and as they deal with the lack of structure that tends to be summer for a lot of people, not for everyone, you see them engage in behaviors, and at some point, the behaviors can't be ignored. You know, and at some point, parents start realizing, yeah, they're not structured, but they're not just not structured, they're going off the wall. And so then you see sort of a spike in the middle of, you know, folks entering treatment, and then right before school, when clients start realigning and having to practice and prep and get ready, there's sort of a decrease. And then once school starts again, you see an immediate increase.
I would love for you to address the working mom, you know, the latchkey kid, like, you know.
Yeah, how do they take care of that, you know, yeah, definitely.
And how do we find structure for those?
You know, I want to just bring up one thing. Jennifer and I were actually talking, actually my husband and I were talking, because I have always, and Mindy, I hope that you can, you know, add to this. I've always said to my kids, of course, I've got four children, two girls and two boys, okay. And I used to say, because I was so involved in their school, that if I couldn't be there, I knew that other parents could be there. And I used to say, you know, I don't mind other people parenting my children as long as they have the same morals that I had. And so if they were going to see my kids doing something wrong, I would hope that they would care enough to say, I know your mom would not.
So it's like it takes a village is what you're saying.
And we were just talking about this on our earlier show. Look at that lady in Baltimore. She saw her son on TV and went down there and just, you know, beat the crap out of him. And she took the initiative to do that. That's what we need to do, don't you think, Mandy?
beat the crap out of him.
Well, no, but you know, I mean, be an assertive parent.
Sure. Well, so you said a few things. Definitely,
yes.
Being an assertive parent is a great thing.
Yeah.
And I don't want to downplay the fact that, you know, surrounding yourself with parents who share the same expectations and values is a very good thing and very critical. But I also wouldn't encourage parents to necessarily depend on other parents to take care of their kids, because your kids know how to manipulate other people a lot better than they know how to manipulate you.
You know what? You got a great point there.
But I want to elaborate a little bit on Sherry's question, because I have a 13-year-old today. He's 13. And I feel like even though I'm home during the day, and like Sherry said, with latchkey kids, there's that weird age where the kids that stay home during the day alone, they're not really old enough to go and do something. But even mine, who's home with me, he's not really old enough to go and do something, but they need something to do. They can't just sit there all day. Like, what do we
Correct.
Do with those 13-year-olds that, you know, they'll get into trouble when they're left home alone, but even if I'm there, they still need guidance. Does that make
or
sense?
Or they're on their computer all day, Facebook.
Right, because that's what we don't want them to do.
Correct. And it really... That's why with latchkey kids, it's a little harder, and I don't blame parents who have to work. You have to work. But the idea is to create structure. And structure doesn't necessarily mean that they have to go out. Structure doesn't necessarily mean that they have to be everywhere with their friends at all times. It means that there's a set of expectations as to where they're going to be and what they're going to be doing.
Be accountable.
It's like accountability, yeah. Exactly, and a plan. Most importantly, and this goes to going to treatment, getting out of treatment, to dealing with life, you need to have a plan. And a lot of times parents have a hard time creating an environment, right? It can feel really awkward, and your kid doesn't necessarily want to always hang out with mom or dad, or, you know, watch the same shows or do the same things. The interests are different.
One of the things that's so sad is when I was growing up, Mandy, you probably wouldn't relate to this, but we had community centers. And we had, you know, in my community, there was a Jewish community center. And so because my mom was a working mom, I could go to this community center and be with other teens.
Well, there's boys and girls clubs.
That's true. But
there are boys and girls clubs. Yeah. But you're right. A lot of parents.
There's not a lot of money in that anymore. And so there's really nowhere to take your kids when you're a working mom.
Right, and you have to plan it out in a way not unlike what you might have done when your children were three or four. You know, we wrote a blog about it, but at, you know, there's certain things you can do to create home vacation activities.
Mm-hmm. So, Mindy, I have a question about that. Is that like I said, I have a 13-year-old now. I could plan all of his time and make his, you know, make plans.
Not all of his time, but
it is still appropriate at this time to make plans so that there is a plan. There is some structure?
Yes, it is definitely appropriate to put structures in place. I mean, obviously a curfew is a given. But also setting specific meal times and setting family time and creating projects. So maybe, you know, you create either a family project or some kind of endeavor that they want to explore. Maybe they have a business opportunity they wanted to make, or a home film, or it doesn't matter what it may be, but you come up with certain ideas and then you allocate certain periods of time to working on said project, or you allocate certain periods of time to do, you know, weekends we will go on an outing as a family, and so from 8 to 5 that's what that will be, and you allocate time to be with friends, and you allocate time so that it doesn't necessarily mean that every minute is accounted for,
right?
But it also means that A, there are activities, and B, you can predict at any given time where they should be. Because if there are issues, you'll never notice it if you don't have a pattern to look at. You'll never catch a red flag if there's no flags to be seen.
That
so
is
if you start
so...
setting structures and you start planning and you set certain activities, then A, you have structure, and B, if there's deviations, you notice them faster.
Okay. Such great advice.
And also,
it really
I want
is.
To say to all the working moms, I have the luxury of staying home most of the time. And definitely do not hesitate to ask someone if you are in a bind to watch your kid. Because I know I have a friend, and I sometimes will reach out to her first so that she there's that awkwardness that she doesn't have to do it. And but I have to say, if I need something from her, I can give her the strangest idea. Like, I really need this. I need you to do this for me. And she will always do it because I've always been there. You know, I've helped her out. And it's not.
Well, it is a support.
It's not
it's a
exactly.
Support
it's not like, well, I owe you this. It's a give and take. You
no.
just help each other. You don't keep track of it.
There you go. You know what, Mandy, we need to take a really quick break.
Sure.
Will you stay with us?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. I do want to say, again, for anybody that's just tuning in with us right now, we're talking with Mandy Barron. We're talking about schools coming out and summer survival tips for parents of teens. We are talking about Mandy Barron of Evolve Treatment Centers. Evolve Treatment Centers provide innovative and cutting-edge treatment for teens 13 to 18. And I want to just give out that website. If you're listening right now and you're going, I need to get in touch with somebody fast, let me tell you, visit evolvetreatment.com, or you can call 800-665-GROW. That's G-R-O-W. All right, stay with us. We'll be right back. You are listening to The Gano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery.
I'm a lifelong Ventura County resident, and I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of something, and I'm guilty of being what you call a hair jumper. And what that means is that I'm not really loyal to any one particular barber, stylist, or hair cutter, and that also means my hair doesn't always look as good or as great as it could. Until that is, I met Kim Pagano, the one and only hair therapist of Westlake Village. Now, I wasn't a believer until I got up from her chair and saw the magic she did on this head of hair, and I know she's gonna do the same for you. So give her a call, 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832. She's gonna change your life. She's gonna change the life of your hair, and she's gonna end your days as a hair jumper. Give Kim Pagano, the hair therapist of Westlake Village, a call. It's 818-612-0832.
Hi, Allison Ross here from the Center for Eating Recovery to tell you the real reason why your last weight loss attempt didn't work. Diets offer food advice but leave us to battle overwhelming food cravings that sabotage the effort. We help you to break free from the vicious yo-yo dieting cycle. As a psychotherapist specializing in eating, I have developed an 8-week course called Hunger Balance that works at the root of the problem. Our therapeutic approach will release your mind from the craving state, break your emotional dependence on food, and make it easy to make healthy choices. Listeners of The Kim Pagano Show get $100 off when you register for a course. Call us at 818-836-4600 or visit us at centerforeatingrecovery.com.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here on The Brighter Side of Recovery. I do want to remind you of all the ways that you can get in touch with us, and that's at kimpaganoshow.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and really all the way through. We have all of our podcasts up on Kim Pagano and at iTunes, and we're growing leaps and bounds. And you can get one of our newsletters. All you have to do is call 419-0008. We're all blogging about different relevant things that are in our lives, and Mandy's one of them. And Mandy, we love what you you add to our group here, and again,
thank you.
Mandy Barron from Evolve Treatment Centers. Mandy, I know we were talking about things that parents should be really fearful of, what their teens might be doing on their free time. Talk to us a little bit about that.
No, absolutely. Free time is the devil's playhouse, or is that the term?
Yeah.
We were talking about, you know, really structuring things so clients have, you know, have what to do and have where to grow, and sort of the challenges in doing that. we definitely have found that free time is where you lose track of the issues. And obviously in treatment, we try to minimize the, you know, free time is good to an extent. You can't overwork someone or overburn them, and you want to give them a break, especially given the pressures you have in school. But again, a monitored and well-structured break. I think the big challenge is really kind of finding what to do in that space. Some of the suggestions that we've been kind of given to parents, obviously, we mentioned the family vacations, you know, whether that means scheduling a trip to the zoo or a trip to, I don't know, amusement park or just to a park or to go biking or sort of interactive kind of things are always great because they give you what to do and they also build up communication, which is critical. And it's very hard for, you know, the turnkey kids or the folks who have parents who have to work really hard. And again, not to blame parents who have to work hard, but it's important to make a concerted effort to engage in those activities.
Mandy, you know, all of this is really important, but what if you have a kid that really doesn't want to do anything? It doesn't
great
have.
Question.
Well, I mean, seriously, they start to shut
start
down.
Start moping around.
Yeah,
and
they,
just
you know,
like...
I mean, because there is that point that your kids get like that. I was trying to tell Jennifer it's going to just start now.
They're,
but,
they're just miserable.
Yeah,
you know?
They're just, because they're not they're, happy with who they are. Maybe they don't look, they're in that awkward
age. They're trying to differentiate
from
their parents.
Yeah, exactly. They're trying to pull from, you know, the family of like, you know, okay, I'm trying to be my own person and school and you know, all those things. What would you do?
Well, the question you just asked is, if my teen is struggling from teen angst, what do I do?
Yeah,
that is
and
so
the
true.
Answer, the answer to that question is fairly extensive. I mean, obviously, it is a challenge. You know, your teens are trying to be their own people. At this point, I say, you know, you can treat adolescents of all ages because that behavior you're describing is starting to transition to even young adults. I mean, it's not uncommon. One of the things I really like to do to address those kind of issues, because we have a lot of teens who come in from that perspective, is to try to find what their passions are and hone in on that. You know, not everyone has a passion, but the vast majority of teens either have something they're passionate about or learn about something they're passionate about while they're with us. So sometimes it's exploring that. And then the second thing is, you know, if they're passionate about something or if you find the passion, how do you help them navigate that? So say you know, your kid's interested in surfing. Well, maybe you find a way to engage them in A, surfing activities, and B, ways in which they can profit financially from surfing, and C, ways in which they can build toward a future where they can engage in surfing. And that goes back to a plan. It goes to sit down and go, okay, look, you're bored of this. You're sick of this. You don't like this. You know, you feel like, I don't know, school means nothing because what the heck do I need to know what A plus, you know, 1 + 1 is or you know, like the job would be to try to find what they're passionate about, to have them engage in that simultaneously.
Another great idea is volunteering. I think, you know, teaching teens about giving and service, I think is such a valuable lesson. And so going with them to feed the homeless or going to a nursing home and bringing cookies.
Well, it's so true because they're at that odd, awkward age where they're really too little to be the camper, or they're too big to be the campers, but they're not quite old enough to be running the show. So if they volunteer, they can kind of go back and forth, I feel like, a little bit.
They'll get a sense of self-esteem. Absolutely. And they'll see how other people live. And then because they think their life is just falling apart because they're going through that teen angst, as you call it, they get to see, oh, my God, my life isn't so bad, you know?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, volunteering is another great opportunity. I know a lot of, and not just volunteering, but not just sending your kids to volunteer, but volunteering with them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Which you know, it you really have to do it. You know, you have to live it to convince somebody else to do it. It's not as simple as, mm-hmm. you know, go ahead and volunteer. Let me know how it goes.
Right. Right.
You need to kind of do it with your kid because that is a little scary to begin with. You just walk in and maybe that's not what you're doing and you're telling your kid to do it. So you got to be like, be the sample, right?
I tell you, I was so lucky, you know, because my daughter worked at a dance studio from the time she was like 14, 15. It was down the street. I was a working
there's
mom.
The passion.
Oh my God, it was amazing. She actually danced, took lessons for hours, and then she actually ran the dance studio.
There, yeah.
It was actually a real job for
right.
her, and
that's
she earned
great.
Money, and she... You know, today she started working at a young age, and it wasn't because she had to have the money, although it was nice to have extra money.
It was her passion.
And I got to tell you, in this competitive market, I know this sounds crazy, and I know kids got to go to school and get great grades and so forth, but having that on your resume...
Oh, gosh, absolutely. I think it's very important for teenagers to have some sort of a job. I always had a job. I sold gold by the inch at the indoor
swap meet. You can't believe how many parents don't feel that way.
Yeah.
You know, they really don't. Oh, he's too young.
That's why I appreciate the moms that work, because it gives me that opportunity to drive them places, and I feel like that's how I figure out what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
It keeps me involved because I'm the one with the car.
I was so grateful to people like you. I mean, you were just the greatest. I mean, it takes a tribe, and a lot of times my daughter would go to families that were full families, not single parent families, and it would feel like, you know, a quote real family, and it was the mothers like you that would, you know, take her places. I mean, thank God for mothers like you.
You're so nice. But I always say, Sherry, you give yourself such a hard time about that. I remember my mom went back to work, and I think I was almost in high school, and I remember thinking, oh, finally I get some peace and quiet around here. Yeah. I was so excited.
That is so funny. That is so funny. Now, you know, Mandy, how can we build a strong relationship with our teens? What are some of the things that you're working with, you know, parents at Evolve?
You know, I think the fundamental thing is communication.
Yeah.
And some of the things that you've all described are excellent ways to build that communication. You know, it's not easy to sit down and engage your teen in a conversation randomly. Not many of them want to sit down and talk about anything. But by engaging in these kind of alternative activities, you create a stage to build the communication and start the conversation.
I have a question, Mandy. I know we're always going all over the place, but that's what you get first.
I have ADHD, too.
I know, and actually mine's a little, I'm honing in on that ADD, but, you know, with three women, this is what you get. So when you, and I don't know if you can answer this, but what do you see, and again, it's not the parents' fault, but what do you see in the, what is the ideal, not the ideal, how would you describe the evolved parent? You know, the parent of your clients. You know, like, how would you...
The one prior to treatment or after treatment?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, really. You know what? Why don't we do a before and after?
That's a great idea.
Because, you know, there's things... There are parents out there, I know, that are listening that need to know what they can do so either they avoid that or...
Well, the things maybe that our parents did that they didn't know, that people don't... Not that they were wrong then, but that parents don't do now because it...
Well, I think
that.
What you both are saying is, what are some tips to keep our teens out of trouble, like from drinking or doing drugs? I mean, because some of us are, you know, we think our kids are perfect, right? And it's not that they aren't perfect. It's that they might be getting into the wrong homes. I talked about that before, is when my kids were younger, I never let them sleep over anybody's house unless I knew who they were. Because if I didn't let them smoke pot at my house, why was I going to let them go sleep at somebody's house that they're okay with it?
I think it's still okay to ask, who are the parents? Can I meet the parents?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I agree.
Well, it's a matter of staying involved. I think I can answer it by describing the type of parents. Honestly, the type of parents we see are good parents, parents who care. These are not parents who have abandoned or abused or destroyed their kids. Although obviously we see a lot of different things, but your average parent meant well, loves their kids, and didn't see this coming.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them, you know, noticed the signs and maybe tried to deal with it, but it became worse. And the majority of them are at this point just frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
We've tried, we've done, we're doing our best, but we keep not being prepared. We don't know what's going on. They're not opening up to us. And so there's a very fractured connection. And a lot of parents have a good connection. I love my kid. We spend time together, but they don't. It's still a surprise when the kid tries to commit suicide or starts using drugs. And the real reason is because of the lack of connection and the lack of connection, not intentionally. So it's a lack of education and a lack of communication.
Well, you should certainly take the shame out of it, Mandy.
You have to. I mean, you really have to. The parents, you know, the kids aren't born with a manual. And when you shift from 12 to 15, you know, in that age, a lot of things change. Your interests change, your peers change, your body's changing, your brain is developing. You know, there's a million things happening for a teen as it is. And if you aren't in tune with what the things teens struggle with or what things they struggle with, and if you're not in tune with their system, like you mentioned, with who are they with and who are their teachers and who are their peers, you know, and who are the parents of their peers and what kind of things they're doing, if you're not in tune and you're not educated as to what to look out for, well, it's going to hit you like a ton of bricks.
On that same note, I have a question for you about that. With not knowing what's going on or having that open line of conversation, I saw a quote that said, the things that you say to your child become their inner conscience. Mm. But that's so hard because as a parent, you are trying to teach them right from wrong and guide them. And sometimes a teenager, it's hard to sugarcoat, please stop doing that, or, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm always a little bit think to myself, ooh, I hope I didn't say that wrong, but I don't really know how, you know, where do you find that balance between breaking down someone's self-esteem but still getting your point across?
Well, that comes with education. I mean, that comes with, okay, I need to sit down and make a science project out of this. I need to study what teens are struggling with. I need to study the impact of what teens are struggling with. And I need to connect with my team. So it's a two-part answer. It's number one, spending the time to have a good relationship with your team so that when you have to address the issues, that's not the only thing you talk to them about, right? How often do parents just show up and talk to their teen when they find the pot in their backpack but have never talked to them about serious issues before? So you have to have a rapport outside of just the disciplinary rapport. And then when you do have to have that time to talk about a disciplinary issue, you actually have the knowledge behind it. Okay, I love you. You're doing great. We talk all the time. We have a good relationship, but I need to talk to you about this. This is a serious issue, and here's why. And here's why it's not okay. And so it doesn't come across as chastising. It comes across as being informed and connected with your team. And that's part of what we do when parents arrive. Obviously, there's intense therapy and a lot of wonderful education and programming and fun where we consider ourselves, you know, a top-notch treatment center. But one of the core elements is educating parents and helping establish and develop the conversation with them and their team. Because after they leave us, guess who's going to have to monitor and who's going to have to connect and who's going to have to do what they have to do? It's the parents. They're not staying with us forever. And so the parents who leave us are educated and have better boundaries and have a better connection with their teen and have a plan.
That's great. It's very cool.
I just think everyone needs to hear this because sometimes there's so much shame and guilt. I think that's the biggest issue when your kid, you know, becomes an addict is just, wow, how did this happen? What did I do wrong, right?
Yeah, you blame yourself.
Absolutely. There's a lot of that. And that shame partially becomes a tool for your kid, you know, because
kids learn very quickly how to play on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Correct. Mandy, give out the name of your treatment center and how, you know, everybody out there can call you and get in touch with you.
Absolutely. So we are Evolve Treatment Centers, 800-665-GROW. You can go to evolvetreatment.com, and we actually have a plethora of wonderful blogs that you can read on all these topics, and we're adding to it. We have locations. I know you guys are broadcasting Ventura. We've got an outpatient, you know, where there's day and evening treatment or even just, you know, weekly psychotherapy treatment in Ojai. We have a residential treatment center in Ojai as well. And we have a residential treatment center in Topanga and an outpatient and day program in Bel Air. So kind of by the 405 and Sunset area.
You mean people can just see a therapist with Evolve?
They can even just see a therapist. We have day treatment, evening treatment, not just residential treatment.
Oh, I don't. You mean like just a one-on-one or family coming in?
Just one-on-one or just family or psychiatry.
Oh, that's great.
That's good to know, Mandy.
And we carpool people to and from. So if your kid needs treatment after school, a couple hours of therapy or group therapy, they can be picked up from school and then brought back within a 30-mile radius.
How about insurance? A lot of people ask about insurance.
So we absolutely accept insurance. We accept most PPOs and even some HMOs. We fight a really tough game with insurance. We fight on behalf of our clients.
Yeah.
And for the most part, parents bring in their insurance and we work with that.
That's great, Mandy.
Wow.
Thank
you so much for being a part of the Kim Pagano, the Brighter Side of Recovery.
And helping teens everywhere.
Yeah. No.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. All right. Again, thank you. And we're going to take a really quick break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Brenda Schaefer. We're going to be talking about, is it love or is it an addiction? And this book has changed the way we think about romance and intimacy. So stay with us. We'll be right back. And, of course, we always want to give back. And how about some Rubicon tickets? Right now, till May 10th, we have The Last Train to Nebraska and an excellent show. So give us a call right now at 419-0008, 419-0008. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I can see clearly now the rain is gone.
DeVall Treatment Centers, based in Southern California, provides innovative and cutting-edge treatment tailored specifically for teens aged 13 to 18 struggling with addiction and mental health issues. With two residential treatment centers in Topanga and Ojai and two partial hospitalization and outpatient facilities in Bel Air and Ojai, we provide the most effective level of care to meet our clients' unique needs. Our strength-based, solution-focused program empowers our clients to become the engine of their recovery. For more information, go to evolvetreatment.com or call 1-800-665-GROW.
You know someone suffering from addiction? Call 866-547-6451 or visit us on the web at SoberMalibu.com today. Sober Recovery Center is the only Joint Commission accredited addiction treatment center in Malibu. At the Sober Recovery Center, we treat the underlying psychological disorders and the symptoms of addiction. We live by the creed that one size does not fit all. The bottom line is we provide treatment that works for you or your loved one. Call 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com for immediate help for any drug or alcohol problem. Our expert team is committed to helping develop a customized program to ensure your recovery experience is life-changing. The SRC program is the only affordable program to offer such a high quality of care with so many therapies from renowned therapists. Our therapists and doctors will assist you by providing the necessary tools to manage your life and address the issues that have plagued you. Counselors are ready to help you and your loved ones 24 hours a day. That's 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com today. Help is just a call away at 866-547-6451.
Waking up to your aliveness is what Sherry Gaba teaches her clients in person, by phone, or through Skype. Sherry teaches you how to live a life filled with harmony, peace, joy, and purpose, with real tools to change anything in your life, whether it's a relationship, career, financial abundance, anxiety, depression, or any addiction, whether it's alcohol, food, even obsessive love, or the internet. Sherry is a licensed psychotherapist and a certified transformation and recovery coach. Call Sherry at 818-756-3338. Email her at sherry@sgabatherapy.com and check out her website at www.sherrygaba.com.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. That's what we're talking about here with Sherry Gaba and Jennifer Chastain and, of course, Tom Spence. And I'm Kim, and our next guest is Brenda Schaefer, and we're going to be talking about her book, Is It Love or Is It Addiction? Brenda, welcome.
Thank you.
And tell us a little bit about yourself. What is addictive love?
Well, addictive love is really any time we become dependent on the object of love, we become dependent on romance, the feeling of romance, or we can also become dependent on the sensation of sex that's involved in a relationship. But it's, as you know, it's a process addiction, and what we're doing is using something outside of ourselves to stimulate certain experiences internally, certain chemicals internally that we, over time, can become dependent on.
Okay.
Hi, Brenda. This is Sherry. I think we've talked before, Sherry Gaba. I love your work, as you know.
Thank you.
It's amazing. It's really, you're really a trailblazer in this field. You really are. I wonder if you can differentiate between love addiction and codependency.
That's a question that people ask me a lot. I think codependency came out of the addictions model when the partner of the addict really enabled the addiction or rescued the person, and in that regard was involved in it. But I see love addiction as far more lethal, actually, than codependency. Codependency can be a part of it, but, you know, people can actually die of love addiction in the sense that there are physiological ramifications when one is in the receiver or giver position.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've actually seen studies that show there's sometimes more issues for the one that isn't the, well, I'm talking about codependency, but for the addict. The addict, you know, that's one thing is the alcohol and drugs, but for the codependent, it's high blood pressure, it's heart problems, cholesterol problems.
Really? Wow. Oh,
yeah, because they don't have any boundaries. And wouldn't you say they're all over the place?
Well, that's the codependent, but yeah. In love addiction, it's always mutual, and there's really two people involved in it, and one can be a victim and one can be the rescuer, but there is actually a unconscious, and I want to stress that it's an unconscious attempt to gain control of our lives by empowering other people or empowering a relationship, and both people are involved, and there can be illness on both the one that is the dependent, but also the one that is more the controller of the situation.
What do you do for something like this if it's happening, the codependent love situation with young people?
That's a great question.
You know, like you find these teenagers that are in these relationships and they can't live without each other and they can't go somewhere without their boyfriend.
Actually, Brenda has a book for teens. That's a great question.
Oh, yeah. Do you, Brenda? We would love to have you back on to talk about that too. But that's great because I think, you know,
there's a lot of teenagers
yeah,
that cannot get away
from. They're fused, as we say.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, if we want to talk about teens, you know, the thing about adolescence is that, you know, the hormones are raging, the new body experience, and the fact that they do not have the adult or self-parenting development to be able to take care of all of these feelings on their own. It's a gradual process. We really don't mature until we're age 22, but the bodies are maturing much younger. And the other thing about adolescence is that this is really a dress rehearsal for later relationships, you know, where you're learning how to step into a relationship, be in it, and also to step out. And it can be very traumatic. And I know that dealing with a lot of love addicts in their adulthood, I find that many, many of them had very traumatic adolescent experiences, first love. And the one thing about love addiction that people don't understand is that it's an attempt to relate, but everyone that I have met also has a fear of intimacy. So you might have a fear of abandonment, but you also have a fear of closeness. So love addiction allows you to be only so close, and then you can get into these psychological games and the power plays so that you don't have to take that final step. Because we all have some heart wounds, we all fear being hurt, we all have been hurt, and so though we want love, we also want to be safe. And
so this may be related and not related. You know, I see all of these on Facebook, you know, dating coaches or, you know, on the internet, you know, hire me and I'll find you love.
How to take the best selfie for your profile.
Yeah, oh, right.
Not in the bathroom.
That's right.
And no. I'm like, you know, really what's going on here is you're picking the bad boy because you haven't dealt with these unconscious issues. So it really can start with love addiction, but nobody's really addressing that. They're sort of band-aiding, like, we'll just find a new person to replace the last person. I mean, doesn't that kind of drive you nuts, Brenda?
Well, history, and you know, once is an accident, twice is coincidence, and three times there's a pattern. And if you don't get it by then, you're not going to get it. But you're right. You know, people are 99.9% of who we are is not conscious. And you know, there is the healthy part of us that wants love, that wants to connect. You know, sex, love, and romance are delightful aspects of our humanity, and I think on an ideal level, we crave that, we want it, we think we're going to get it, but as I said, we don't have the role models, we can become addicted to the chemical high of a new love, and we mistake true love for addictive love.
You know, I want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us right now that you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. We're talking with Brenda Schaefer, and we're talking about, is it love or is it addiction? You know, I mean, even in a long-time marriage, it's about keeping it alive. But we had a guest a while back, and I'm sure you guys are going to both remember, is they talked about falling in love with yourself. You have to love yourself. You have to honor yourself and still have a relationship with, you know, your partner. And every time I say partner, Tom, I always think of you. As he thinks, partner, that's your lover, that's your right. But you know what? That is something that you still have to love yourself. And I don't think we were ever really taught to love ourselves.
Well, you have to get yourself in order and then be able to share yourself with someone else.
Yeah. You know, what I wanted to ask you, Brenda, tell us a little bit about how you got started and what your journey is and why you wrote this book.
Well, actually, this book came out of a lecture. I was asked to speak at an addiction hospital on love and other addictions because process addictions were just becoming acknowledged. And when I spoke, I had a very full audience on a very stormy night, and I realized that there were a lot of people interested in this subject. And what they did is they actually recorded and transcribed my lecture, which was the formation of the book, because I had many people come up to me and asked me where they could get the information. Well, part of it was what I was learning from my clients, and part of it was my own life experience. And, of course, being a psychologist and being aware of addictions, it kind of all came together.
So how would you define healthy love?
Well, the simplest definition is that healthy love is green and growing. In other words,
I love that.
You thrive. There's a high level of trust. There's encouragement to grow and to change. Whereas addictive love becomes just the opposite, where you become dependent on the person, where you stop growing, where you begin to compromise yourself and or try to control another person to be what you want them to be. And so healthy love is there's a freedom in it. There's an exchange, and like I said, it's green and growing. And in addictive love, little by little, people are dying.
Exactly. I mean, I often tell clients if they're having that oh my God feeling right in the beginning, although some would call that define it as love or infatuation, I think it's like run the other way. That's what I think.
Well. You know, in my latest version of Is It Love or Is It Addiction, I distinguish between love addiction, romance addiction, and sex addiction, and some relationships have all three. Mm-hmm. And those really can, when they break up, there's a high level of, there can be the stalking, there can be even the homicide suicides that we read about, because the person has become so dependent on not only the person, but the chemicals, the false security that's been created.
There's a big issue with cross addiction. You know, often when I work with addicts and alcoholics and the alcohol and the drugs are gone, you know, they suddenly find themselves in a love addiction situation or a food addiction. You know, they're, in other words, they're switching addictions.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, what are we going to find in your book?
Well, in my book, I talk about how we are drawn into love addiction, that it really is a reality, that there's more reasons to be in love addiction than not. It's what's modeled in our families. We see it in culture. There's that biochemical high you were talking about. And then psychologically, I talk a lot about our psychological dependence. And, you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? You know, do we, for someone, for psychological reasons, and then become dependent on the chemical high? Or is it the other way around? But there are also many stories in this book. So I talk about the power of love, the power of addictive love, I talk about the signs of addictive love, the signs of romance addiction, and the signs of sex addiction, but I also talk about healthy belonging, what that looks like. And then there's a whole long chapter on how to get out of love addiction and into healthy love.
Brenda, are you a sex therapist?
I'm a licensed psychologist, and I'm a certified addiction specialist in the area of sexual addiction.
Okay. And my question is, we're going to have to take a really quick break, but what I want to find out is, to be in an addictive relationship, does it take both of the partners to be addicted?
Do you want me to answer that now?
When we come back. Will you stay with us? Will you stay with us, Brenda?
Yes.
Okay, great. All right, we are going to take a really quick break, and we come back, we'll be talking about that. Again, we're talking with Brenda Schaefer. Is it love or is it an addiction? Again, let's give something away here on our show. How about some Conejo Valley Days over at Conejo Creek Park in Thousand Oaks, May 7th through the 10th. So we've got tickets for you. Give us a call, 419-0008, 419-0008. Stay with us.
Do you know someone suffering from addiction? Call 866-547-6451 or visit us on the web at SoberMalibu.com today. Sober Recovery Center is the only Joint Commission accredited addiction treatment center in Malibu. At the Sober Recovery Center, we treat the underlying psychological disorders and the symptoms of addiction. We live by the creed that one size does not fit all. The bottom line is we provide treatment that works for you or your loved one. Call 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com for immediate help for any drug or alcohol problem. Our expert team is committed to helping develop a customized program to ensure your recovery experience is life-changing. The SRC program is the only affordable program to offer such a high quality of care with so many therapies from renowned therapists. Our therapists and doctors will assist you by providing the necessary tools to manage your life and address the issues that have plagued you. Counselors are ready to help you and your loved ones 24 hours a day. That's 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com today. Help is just a call away at 866-547-6451.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
DeVall Treatment Centers, based in Southern California, provides innovative and cutting-edge treatment tailored specifically for teens aged 13 to 18 struggling with addiction and mental health issues. With two residential treatment centers in Topanga and Ojai and two partial hospitalization and outpatient facilities in Bel Air and Ojai, we provide the most effective level of care to meet our clients' unique needs. Our strength-based, solution-focused program empowers our clients to become the engine of their recovery. For more information, go to evolvetreatment.com or call 1-800-665-GROW.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of recovery. I'm Kim. I'm here with
Jennifer.
And Sherry.
Yes, and I wanted to remind everyone that SOBA now has a magazine called Recovery Today Magazine. It's really simple to get. Subscribe. It's free. It's really all about great stories, and it's really about the brighter side of recovery. I mean, that's what I love about the name of this show, is it's all about, you know, how to live happily in recovery. RecoveryTodayMagazine.com.
There you go. All right. Well, we have Brenda Schaefer on the line with us, and her book is It Love or Is It Addiction? And we're actually at the end of our show, but I did want to wrap it up with asking, does it take two addictive partners, or can, you know, what is it, what do you have for an addictive lovers?
unless someone is stalking someone who doesn't know that the person is stalking them, love addiction is always mutual. And yeah, in love addiction, there's usually the grandiose role and the victim role, and the grandiose is often the power player, the caretaker, the one that's in charge, and of course the victim is the one that's often lonely or depressed or has some kind of a victim position, although those positions can change. I know some people say there's a correlation between the anti-dependent and the dependent person, and I think they're flip sides of the same coin, or the love avoidant and the love addict. I think we have a love addict in us, and I think people need to know that, and that none of us got everything we needed and just the way we needed it, and we're walking around with holes in our psyche and try to fill them any way we can, and we certainly try to do that in relationships, and when we do that unconsciously and try to manipulate
Brenda, we are at the end of our show. I'd love to have you back because we just only barely touched this. Thank you so much, Brenda Schaefer. Is it love or is it addiction? And, of course, we need to end our show with a moment of happiness. Life is a dance between making it happen and letting it happen. With that, you have been listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. Stay with us, and we'll be back next week.